Hello, everybody. This is Tevo DRC of Tevo Creative Leadership and the host of the Apostolic Ministry to Other Fellow Christians in Ministry, the Crossbody Unity, which is a new move. It's optional. You don't join it. There's nobody submitting unto me, and I'm not under you or over you. I'm a Galatians 1, 1 and 2 Crossbody Unity style for those purposes, to be impartial, to give Selah's advice, to give cautionary wisdom, as well as to submit to everybody in Ephesians 5:21, mutual submission in the fear of the Lord, which is how I was raised. Galatians 1 and 1 and 2 is a revealed, downloaded office through the years where God fashioned me into it, made me into his minister like Paul. Paul said about himself in lowercase letters that he was an apostle, not sent out by any one person or any one group, I and the brothers that are with me. In that day and age, it was only brothers, but they surely had mothers and sisters and aunts and relatives and children. So there are people out in the, that's my call as a human's minister. Paul wrote the specifics about this office, Galatians 1, 1 and 2, which I'll describe for myself because this is the call. It said Paul was called, I, Paul, an apostle. Now, when he calls himself an apostle, he names the office, but he doesn't make it a grandiose title. He does it in lowercase letters, which is how we like it, knowing other places that he writes it in bishop and office, teacher, pastor, prophet, all the offices in lowercase letters as well in his writings, which means servant leadership. That ties in with GPT-AI's findings that I inquired about Ephesians 5:21, was the first church, including Jesus, the disciples, the apostles, the fellowships, the families, the ministry, the community, and husbands and wives, all of them mutually submitted, chain of command, mutually submitted in the fear of the Lord back then, and it said it was. It said, however, that later, after Roman influences and Greek influences infiltrated the church, that's when authoritarians appeared, as well as the totalitarian type of government, my way or the highway. So we're trying to demystify and remove Hollywood, celebrity, ego, and trying to let God teach you and me individually what to do about this. So we're not afraid. Paul was not ashamed or bragging when he said that he was an apostle called by God. He was sent. An apostle is a sent messenger, usually to go through rough times for the abundance of the revelation. They go through shipwrecks in life, and I have, because you get milled and sifted to the max. Takes away the fear. It takes away your, gives you a better identity if you're healthy to go toward the Lord that we're only passing through. So when I mention the word apostle over here, this is a chief apostle like Paul, a doctrine originator. For the sake of the body, for the sake of the crude, for the sake of the kind, for the sake of the compassionate, so that people everywhere will get stirred up to hear for themselves, like Paul said. Paul, who wrote of himself as a Galatians 1, 1 and 2, not sent out by any one group or any one tribe, because he couldn't be bought, he could be impartial, he couldn't be owned, he couldn't be micromanaged or censored. He was free to move about, even the Jezebel spires, even the plain ones, without being censored or moved or bought or controlled. And that's what this is for. That didn't mean Paul didn't practice accountability. That means that he didn't have other people. He was a lone warrior or a lone shark. No, he was not. He had people. He was in community, like I believe. So we're trying to depict and define and paint a portrait in your mind for your Christian teaching resource. Paul was sent out. So an apostle is a sent messenger who has a private relationship with the Lord. And somewhere along the line, when they're in prayer, one day out in a field, in a corner, in their office, in their house, him or her, God gives them the call, a revelation, and a download that says, I want you, I'm commissioning you to found a ministry, found a church, found a network, found a business, found a media ministry, whatever it would be. And that is between you and God. So the apostle is the chief apostle with lowercase letter, meaning servant leadership, not famous, not celebrity. And also Paul, I like Paul's version of himself. He says, I haven't arrived, I've not attained. follow me only if I follow Christ. This is a offscouring of the world apostle. Prone to be abused, misused, despised, the foolish things of the world to confound the worldly wise, which this is over here. So Paul wrote of himself and thought of himself as the dung of the world, the offscouring. But he was needed and valued by the Lord like everyone else. So we want to hear God for ourselves, but we also want to say it takes time to do this. It's not, you don't just join up and say, I'm going to do that. You just don't say, oh, it sounds good. I can be in a Galatians 1, 1 and 2 apostle office. No, no, you do not want to do it unless God calls you. You want to make sure you are the one that he really calls. Let's talk about the function of an apostle. The apostle means a sent messenger. The apostle historically means it's a person who's called to found something, to birth something, a new movement, as I said, or ministry. It could be something, someone who's black, white, or brown in any nation of the world that has that on them, an anointing, a call to do it, an office ministry. In Ephesians 5:21-22, which is our mentoring side, the IFFM, the International Fellowship of Foundational Ministries, we talk about how God says that he founds the church. The true church is founded on the messages, the teaching of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And that is this. So the oracle office, the apostle office are messengers, but they've gone into the Lord in a private relationship all alone over time. And he and the Father have downloaded, he or she and the Father have gotten a downloaded word. I want you to build. I want you to do. I want you to not do. I want you to go there. I want you to build it here. And I want you to take it, you know, so black or white or brown, everyone's equal. When Paul mentions himself as the Galatians 1, 1 and 2, he's not sent out by any one group or anyone. He's not under the Levitical patriarchism. He used to be when he was Saul, the Torah keeper, but he is not under the apostles of the first church, even though they came first. If you read history, then Jesus came and he handpicked and mentored for 3 years the 12 famous apostles. I would call them, out of respect, the capital A apostles, Paul included. Paul didn't call himself that. And I don't call myself because I'm not Paul and you're not either. So Paul was not mentored and handpicked by the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth in ministry. He was handpicked and called out by the, you know, by the Father God, the Father of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and he ended up with a call that was the next leg of the journey for the first 12. Well, when Paul was called, he had been the persecutor, the LP, Levitical patriarch, and the nemesis, the adversary, opponent of the first church. And so he had a bad reputation. He had been really accusing, murderous, and treacherous. So when he went, after he got saved, Paul went over to try to help at the first church and co-labor with the first apostles. Now, the first apostles didn't want him, and he tried for 2 weeks meeting with Barnabas and Peter, I recall, but it didn't go well, and he got the left foot of fellowship, and he went off by himself. He was not wanted. He was not trusted. They didn't recognize his anointing, because see, that's another lesson. A person with a move that's in place, set in place that everybody knows, may have difficulty discerning correctly other members of the body who have a different vibe, be they male or female, but a fellow Christian may have a different part of God's anointing. God's anointing is one anointing up in heaven, but we only get a revelation of part of it here and there, dribs and drabs, that may bring music, that may bring teaching, a flow, a network, and that's what that's our field, our top field to talk on, help people in that, to get along, to disapprove of false teaching, and then to hear God for yourself. Apostle Paul, what the Lord said, so when he went to try to help, to try to co-labor with the first 12 apostles that Jesus had set in, you know, over the city. Now, that's a teaching. I'm not going to go there right now because that's a false teaching today that somebody's taken and run with, to say there's certain apostles over the gates of the city that's over all of us. Usually it's charismatic, prophetic, white, but we're not. It's a whelp teaching, usually theophostic, whelp teaching type thing. So let them do that, but we are not in that move, but we've dealt with it too much to know that it's got some bad, you know, dark doctrines with it, dark theology. So Paul back in the day, and I even checked with ChatGPT AI, was there any one group of apostles and minister offices over the rest of the first church? And it said, no, they were all in. They all collaborated, and they all prayed and sought together, and then it was by consensus that they ruled and governed the authority of the first church. That means prior to the time, Roman influences, other influences got in there with deception, such as authoritarianism and totalitarianism, turf guarding, etc. So when I look at Paul, I think of him as very experienced and wise in the law. He was not a junior minister, therefore he knew the difference in the new theology, which is revelation from Jesus, his teaching. And he could tell the difference in himself, so he was very careful. So when he was not allowed to work with the help with the church in Jerusalem, which is primarily Jews and Gentiles, but Peter and the rest of them being mostly Jews, you know, a lot of Jews in there, then Paul said, I did not confer with them. Paul's words, I did not confer with flesh and blood. I didn't need to get their permission. They weren't over me in authority. God caused me to hear him for himself, like everybody should really do ultimately. Now, if you sign up, this is a PS aside, if you sign up to be under a minister in a church, in a fellowship on their team, then you are under them technically. But other than that, it is your choice if you do that, and their choice. So Paul said, I did not confer with them. I didn't ask their permission. I didn't know to get Peter, you know, get him to kiss my ring or kiss his ring. No, I felt led of the Lord to go to Arabia. So the Holy Spirit led Paul to Arabia, where he's up in the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles were far from the Torah, and Paul was needing to go up there because he could get braced for his mission to the Gentiles. He could get to know them, not as he could know, you know, if he was a Jew, even though he would love them, he had a vision about everyone be accepted to the Lord, not just the Jews back then. He still probably had a lot of ingrained bias from his upbringing because he had been a Pharisee of the Pharisees, mentored by the highest Gamaliel, I think that's how you pronounce it. He was steeped in the Torah law. He even murdered for it. He was a zealot. Now, when he got saved, he was healed of that, but he also had natural ingrained experiences in his hard drive emotionally, his think tank, that would trigger about bias, about accusation with people who are not Jewish like him, perhaps. So it is my opinion that he would be sent to the Gentiles for 13 and 14 years to live there, to get them to know them as humans, to sand him down, wear him out, to think, man, they're just as good as I am. There's no one better than or worse than I am. So his prejudice was being worked on. He saw them as mamas and daddies with children and playing, and he got to speak with them in the marketplace and around, and I love that. Paul comes back a different person. He's matured. He's established, and it says in Ephesians 1:17, Paul writes about himself, I pray for the churches, all the churches, that they are given, they can ask for more of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in their knowledge of him. So Paul, how he got his revelation, how I get mine, a lot of it, and ministry and yours too, is going to be about being with the Lord over time in a relationship, letting him communicate. You read your Bible, he may give you a word of the Lord, send you somewhere to get taught, give you ideas in the night, whatever it is, revelation. Paul said for the churches, I pray that all of you would have more of God's Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of him. That means your knowledge of him, not just being knowledge about Jesus, not just knowledge about the Father, Christ, not about teaching and sitting under somebody, not about all the fine books and now these days videos and YouTubes and all these different conferences. It would be about you privately knowing the Lord for yourself and your own heart about him and his communication because he considers you valuable. So an apostle has that. Let's talk back about the apostle. Our view of the apostle is lowercase, trying to be first church. Nobody knows it all. Nobody's always pure-hearted, nobody, you know, but it's about hearing God if you're called to that and will be fashioned into it. Paul said, I'm not sent out by anybody, not sent out any group or person because they might control me. They may not be mature. They may have an occult spirit, false religion that I don't know of. They may have a lot of pride, or I may not be able to say what God needs. When you're in ministry these days, you really need to know about this as an office prototype, as a resource, because of the false theology in Christian ministry, the power pumping, the people pleasing, and all that. But I do not advocate it. I do not want you to just sign on. It would be wrong. It'd be false, because you don't know the price you pay, you know, the hell you pay to be this. And I don't mean that tragically. I mean that is the dysfunction of other people. And the Alexander coppersmiths and the lying and the false witness has been horrible. The bugaboo of just trying to relate as somebody's a senior office and they don't get it because they don't want to. So that made me, you know, aware of this field and to teach on it. If you are the quote, let's do some definitions because everybody's a legalist out there. You know, many people are legalists or never heard this. When the person is called black, white, male, young, old. When the person is called to God by themselves in a private place, in their home or office or business, wherever it is, in the field, in a car, God says, I want you to do this. I'm calling you to build that. You've got a call to go for it, to be a preacher, a prophet, an apostle, a founder of any kind. That makes you, who got this vision first, privately from God, directly as the head, the apostle itself. Now, I'm toning it down. We're not making it famous. We're not putting a capital A on it, ego. But we're doing it as a resource that you can be it without having to get into the false teaching of bowing and scraping, people being rude, divisive, or anything. So apostle, the head apostle, the senior apostle is the senior leader. With or without a staff, you've still got the call to work on it. God will reveal. He needs to tell you slowly what to do, who to do it with, where to go, where he wants this. And it still may face many trials to delay it, to attack it, to our people, shocking things attack. When the apostle, an apostle who's male or female, Christian apostle, is called, when they are married, when they have a spouse, that is the apostle on their team. So the head apostle is usually a man, but it can, in these days, God is needy to get it done, you know, people who won't be moved by all this stuff, but he can make a rare, you know, he can make even more than, you know, many of people are apostles in business. So Apostle Paul is a prototype, a healthy one, a rare one, a man one, a Middle Eastern one. And he is useful today for many men to study in his freedom, but not license. And I love the fact that he was the offscouring. I love that fact. I can say it with a, you know, confidence that I'm not missing, you know, hopefully I'm not missing it, to study Paul. Now, the apostle, the head person who is married, let's say it's a man married to a woman, she is not the apostle. She's on the apostle team, apostolic team, so are the members and the helpers and elders and staff. If it is a female, which it is over here, if that person is married, then the person who is married to that female apostle, in my case, I've analyzed it because it's been so unusual, so, you know, difficult with the doctrine. I didn't even, you know, care to do this. I just want to do it if God needs it, which he does. He really does. So I would say that the apostle, if they're a single apostle and it's a female, they would want to check it out and run it past any person they legally marry to, if they're and get a true Christian who says, this is my tweak on it. Either I let you do it, I want you to do it, or I want to be the pastor over it or sign on to the journey. So the balance is discretionary and it's subjective. You've got to hear God at the time. I liken it maybe to Deborah. The apostle Deborah, she was not an apostle, she was a prophet Deborah in the book of Judges. All right, Deborah was one of the very rare females that was called out by the Lord in the entire Bible, but mostly the Old Testament. She was married to Lapidoth. Let me explain how I see a woman who's got a strong FWA call, female with authority, office or not, how they would deal with this potentially if you feel it. All right, so Deborah was called, And she was married to Lapidoth, so therefore she would go out to deal with men and women. She had a human's ministry as a judge in the nation of Israel under the palm tree. She dealt in the man's world, the business world, with men and women, and would come home and park her mantle of authority, this is how I picture it, to dwell with her equally yoked, even more fine-tuned in a different skilled area, Lapidoth, in Ephesians 5:21, mutual submission in the fear of the Lord with Deborah, who signed on to it. He signed on to it knowledgeably. It, you know, even though they didn't have it, this was Old Testament, it would still be submission, as in, we've talked about it. Do you mind if I do this? And let him have his say. He would be head of whole chain of command. That's how I believe it. So if I were to ever have a person sent to me that would be the right caliber, that I could stand and he could stand me, let's put it that way, because you have to know what you're getting into, I would first qualify as a person who's been around an awful lot. Do you really want to do this? Do you really mind if I do this? I really don't care right now. I feel like I've learned what I needed to learn. I can teach it anywhere. I don't have to be over anybody. And I don't want to be over anybody. I just want to do what God says, and that's to help people. So if I were to be sent somebody, and maybe they want to be the minister or not the minister, that is their choice. I don't care if they're a minister. I frankly am a little leery, a lot leery of contrived people that have false teaching in ministry and, you know, Christians that say they're a minister. And so therefore, I don't really care. I'd like a civilian or one that really understands, a man's man. So a female who's got a strong call would need a more of a stronger call if they are the weaker vessel of the two, because you want to be the weaker vessel. What I picture with Lapidoth being the head of home, the head of the prophet, the wife is prophet, who he knew dealt with the tough guys in the city, she would come home and she didn't want to be tough at home with Lapidoth. She wouldn't be his honey bun. So she'd park her mantle, they'd have fun, they'd play, and he would still be the wise, you know, her protector. She had a protector. He wasn't jealous. He wasn't competitive. When Deborah went out with the army, he could trust her. He didn't think she'd have evil that she'd be carrying on, because she was a circumspect woman like myself. And he knew that she dealt with men and how she respected men as humans and equals, but she wasn't over them. But she also went because some of them were scared. They were weak. Not every woman is the weaker vessel to every man. That is a common misunderstanding, especially in the grassroots, you know, dysfunction, because it takes God to put it together who is stronger and who is weaker in every combination. And that's a huge topic I'll talk about another time. It's difficult because you have two people and they have to be mutually submitted in the fear of the Lord and understand what that means to get into that where they want to be married, because then it would be the wife submitting to the husband, but not being owned, controlled, or ruled or dominated, but in a healthy way like my family was raised. I was raised like that. So I picture Lapidoth as head of home, but, you know, strong and silent, out doing what he needed to do in his own line of work, but he knew about Deborah. He could have been an apostle or something that was building a work, building a farm, you know, overseeing a lot of people. I don't know about him. But I call him Lapidoth as Laptop. I call him, she was married to Laptop. And they got along. Even evidently they were equally yoked. And that's what it really matters. Equally yoked and maturely wed to understand all that is implied if a female has an office and or if a male has an office. Because it's an authority with two strong people. And that's why I believe it's got to be God that puts it together. When I was wrestling back in Dallas, when I was wrestling with the thought of being called an apostle, that God was calling me to this, Galatians 1, 1 and 2, I'd been, you know, in decades of ministry, and I'd been decades of teaching and decades around prophecy and offices and faith. And I was raised by two pastors that were not into the Holy Spirit. You know, my mom wasn't a pastor. She was the pastor's wife. And I always thought I never cared to be a pastor or office like this or a prophet. I just thought whatever God wants to do, you can do whatever you want. I'll do it. But I always felt I didn't want to be non-feminine. And that's what I felt as being a pastor, female pastor might be. Now I realize we're in less desperate last days. We'll do whatever God takes. But when I was wrestling, as I was wrestling in maybe 2016 in Dallas, had plenty of time to evaluate ministry, myself, and life, and what God wanted, and he opened me up to Rod Parsley, Pastor Rod Parsley, who is a very kind, genuine, smart person who is not a whelp, not under shepherding movement, which is controlling about the women. He's very, very diverse. And I'm not under him, but I had a copy somehow of his Reformation Bible. And I used that Bible to recently, and, you know, for a long time until it wore down. But he said a comment about Deborah that challenged me, but also relieved me from this call. He said, this is Pastor Rod. You can accuse him. You can get on his case if it's wrong. But anyway, it made sense. He said in his Reformation Bible about Deborah, he made a comment about women. And he said, God looks around the nation of his people in desperate times. God looks around the nation of his people. And when he can't find enough strong, mighty men with good character, he'll call up a woman. And I will say that as the reason I said, okay, Lord, that's right. That's right. Because, see, I know a lot of people that are not legalistic or accusing about women, but there are so many that are. I'm just teaching it from the loudest pulpit I can, you know, to let people know, make them feel better, let them be aware of it, and also to keep a perspective on myself and also of life and this. So Apostle Paul, let's say back in the day. So first of all, Deborah. So Deborah was sent to do it. She was a sent messenger, and Lapidoth was okay with it. He let her, I mean, it was fine. They worked it out between themselves. And see, that's it. When I look at these people naming famous preachers, famous women preachers, famous men preachers, but they go after a woman preacher that's famous, the top three, one of them Beth Moore, and they go after and they call them evil, that they're unsubmitted and they're not under Paul, and they're doing all this thing to accuse them. It raises a big flag. One, did they confront them? To me, it's old-timey law. Three, it's using money to make money for themselves, TMZ tabloid that is monetized. Why don't they remove it? Next, it's worse. All right, Apostle Paul said, for the women, maybe they were Gentiles. To the people that he mentioned, do not let the woman speak in the church. He said, to the women, to the men, let your wives keep them silent. Keep your women silent and teach them at home. The paraphrase being, this is my submitted Selah, and everyone's got their choice. Even ChatGPT say it varies from minister to minister. So there should be no jumping, loud accusing, reviling, that shepherding or LP every single time. White, usually. He said, Paul said, let you keep your women quiet in your church, teach them at home. My opinion is, I've never read it, but I'm just surmising. Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Gentiles raised their women rough. They raised them like chattel and slaves. They were offerings at the altar of the false gods, all sorts of things with children. So when the children, they weren't educated. The Jewish women, Hebrew women, were raised around the law, the Torah. They understood submission, you know, understood the rules, and they had education more. So when Paul was converting the new first church people, these women were shouting out. And they were not trained with discipline. They had not been allowed to have education. So it was chain of command patriarch back then. And Paul just said, keep them quiet in church, teach them at home. Now, there are other different ones, and I'm not spending my time. You can make up your choice and not do it. You know, that's one reason I'm over here. I'm not over there with you guys. But the real thing is, when I've made the authority chain of command over here, and if I get married, it'll be chain of command. I'll be Ephesians 5:22 to Ephesians 5:21. If it happens, you know, if we can figure it out, what everybody, you know, God is saying to both of us. But I will also say that I purposely am saying in a official Galatians 1, 1 and 2 that I am not under you and I am not over you for your sake. And that will help the legalists and the clans of people who are reviling Christian women who have a voice called by God. I don't care what they think. They can do all they want. They can accuse and lie and talebear and weave their thread. That I'm not in that. We're not in that. We're not opposed to the human, but we're opposed to that. That is your choice. That is my choice as unto the Most High God when we stand alone before his throne. You're too. All right, bottom line is, are we needing to do this so loudly and so vocally and create dysfunction? It is not harmonious with the teaching of Paul, and it's not harmonious with the first church calling out false prophets. This leads into false prophets, false teachers, which I did ask ChatGPT AI when I was on that for about in June and July of 2023, in case they abridge it and fake it, you know, change the AI on us. Back then it said, I said, did they have, was everyone Ephesians 5:21, including marriage? It said, yes, no authoritarians, that they ruled not by one big group, one kind of minister over another, but it was in consensus with the church. And then I said, well, what about women? And they said that depends upon, maybe they're PC or not, I don't know, but it just said every group has their own opinion. And they listed some women I didn't even know were in there, Juni or something like that. I hadn't heard of her. But anyway, that is your choice. So I'm submitting this as a Pauline Selah. Pause and think of it. Hear God for yourself, because you're going to be the one that stands before the throne alone for a time when he judges you and shows you your, evaluates your progress and your fruit and your truth. Same with myself. And we're doing our best. We really are. We're trying to help everybody, not hurt. So I'm not over you. You're not over me. This is Galatians 1:1-5, but there is a chain of command. If somebody works for me, and, you know, works in the ministry, they sign on like they would at your group or that group to be on time, to do the right thing, to, you know, show respect for authority, to defer, read the boundaries, male or female. And that's how we, you know, to be mature. And that's normal. That's Ephesians 5. That's, to me, that is submission. Not the submission teaching, but being mutually respectful is submitting. Every place you go around anybody, unless they're defiling you, using you, harming you, get out. So with the thought of reviling, all right, I asked the ChatGPT, did they revile? Did the first church revile and name false prophets out in society? Did they say, he's a false prophet, she's a false prophet, like they do now on TV, you know, everywhere you go, pulpits, lampstands, TMZ, videos on YouTube, etc. Did the first church, I asked, revile and lambast and make the names known, the famous names known of the false prophets? And it answered back, it said no. It said they did, yes, they did name false prophets. They did name the false prophets back in the day, but they kept it within the community. And they didn't revile them or do a diatribe, and they probably wouldn't make a... I asked, did they confront them? You know, I didn't ask it, but I always think, did the people who call these people right now, all the false prophets, all the she false prophets, all the out of order, in rebellious women and men and all this mean stuff, did they ever talk to them like real people? Do these people act functionally and make an appointment in Matthew 18:15, confront them? Did they one-to-one, meekly, politely, Galatians 6:1, privately confront them? No. With the females, let me do this. I've thought of this. I wrote them once on a comment on their diatribe TMZ video, at least once, because it bothers me. It is so, it is dysfunctional, but it also confuses and makes cynics, makes people really hard. It's not transforming lives. It's not creating a holy fear of the Lord move in America. In fact, it's just evil eye word cursing at every chance they can to make a little shekel here and there. Mini mega shekel you Pharisee is what I say. All right. In light of the female, the famous female that is reviled and withstood, you know, gossiped about and maligned, there she is, and the man is behind the scenes. There she is. She is out of order. She is what Paul said. She is a witch. She's doing witchcraft. She's rebellion. That's what they do. All right, let's deal with it. I'm looking at protocol, ministry, maturity, respect, and protocol. If I look at, let's say, Beth Moore, the three that are usually Paula White and Joyce Myers, whom I'm not under them. I'm not a friends with them, not a fan. I don't even know all their beliefs, but I am for respect. Usually they leave Marilyn Hickey alone. She is older. And so I will look at the, let's say, Paula White. All right, Paula White to me is very respectful. She's not controversial. She might be with you. You know what I mean? I don't know her that well. But all I know is that she is a human being and a Christian. That is all I'm looking at. Christian. She seems to be living it out, pure in heart. She seems to be not perfect. I think she's had controversy maybe, but who hadn't? She's married. That's the point I want to make with TMZ targeting. Here we have a female that is married. All three of these are married, and the husband is like a Lepidos to the Deborah. And the husband is dwelling with them faithfully, and them to them, it seems to be in Ephesians 5:21, and the women appear to be in 5:22, mutually submitted, with the wife obeying in chain of command, because the husband is over the wife, and they have given their permission, their blessing, their benediction, even want to help them get the word out and the message. So therefore, they've got the bonds of marriage. The holy bonds of marriage in Ephesians 5:22, mutual submission, which is first church. And you still that don't even know these people, don't even share their same network, they're not their peer, their subgroup, you're not their caliber, you've never spoken to them in public, you've overstepped the marriage bounds, your false authority. This is false authority rebellion, word curse rebellion against a fellow Christian, which is failing to discern the body of Christ correctly, which could leave you open to serious two curses yourself if you're not careful. This is abusive to the viewer, to the innocent, to the young, and I am tired of it. But I'm letting you know this hurts people and hurts Jesus ministers and women, but also people, the name of ministry as a trustworthy viable option for the stranger, the lost, the confused, all these people. There's been so much manipulation, so much stuff that we've heard, word cursing and money and all these rumors through the last 15 years, 25 years, that all these people have quit. That's why they're not in church. That's why I'm out of this stuff, all this crap, excuse me, stuff. That's why I talk at the Barista Fellowship all the time. I'm going to have some of these people, these men on there. I deal with men and women all the time. These men that are family men, I deal only with really faithful, true family men that are happy and contented. They have real reasons. They're smart, very smart, to tell why they're not in the church or why they don't like to go. And we know the ones that do like to go, they're out here too in family men, and they don't word curse people. And I want to honor them. Maybe they'll be on, if I'm not too controversial for that group, because they're really nice. But so are these others. They're just not good people, have seen through this stuff, and they've quit the system. It's not the people. It's the word curse of the system that comes out from the fruit. So we are here full barrel to let this be out there, because we're fed up. Like Jesus, we're fed up with Pharisees, not the people. We're fed up, and we're causing a real, we're tossing over those money changers' tables, because all it is about money. All it is, basically, if you trace it back, who's over who, my TMZ video, my collection, my turf, my wear and tear, I want to be over you, all that is money. Systems, algorithms, whatever this is, big boss is money. It is. And also failure to discern the body of Christ correctly, and no doctrinal balance. False teaching, really well-intentioned, goody-two-shoes, but really not even lined up with the first church. Humility, fear of the Lord, compassion, scripture, confrontation. Instead of prophetic, it's pathetic. It's now 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, 1 Timothy 1 through, 6, 5, money. And there's no lining up with the mature scriptures of Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. He is our peace, who's broken down every wall of partition to make us both one. There's no Ephesians 1, 6, accepted in the beloved, everybody equally. There's no Ephesians 3, 19, Paul again, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which passes money, which passes gifting and teaching and training and talent, to know the love of Christ that passes money, that passes knowledge, and you'll be filled with the fullness of God. They're not full. They're dysfunction. And it takes our time to go through these places, realizing, You mean to tell me they're backbiting me again? That kind of group always backbites. You mean to tell me I've been wasting my energy getting my children ready, putting gas in the car time after time when there's no value? I'm not valued. We're word cursed. We're prayed against. We're targeted by big shot ministry. Well, this is why we're talking about it. We really are. You need to assess this stuff. It's in our nation. It really is our nation. Word cursed nation starts in the houses of God and the families of God and the ministries of God. Word cursed nation needs to be repented. You want to be... Paul said, and I got this. This is my last. Paul said, be very careful how you many are dying young and don't know why, and they're sick and they don't know why because they fail to discern the body of Christ correctly. That is a word God told me pronounced in 2000 when I was around a lot of this stuff. And he said, in the last days, this is going to be the new word, rhema of the Lord. And this is the time to deliver it. It is the rhema of the Lord, the word of the Lord for now. He said, in the last days, when it's so important that my people, my community of Christians get along and are transformed, behave themselves, because the lost will be lost forever in eternity. Souls are going to be lost through confusion, domination, bias, targeting, bigotry, all this stuff, playtime, want to be famous, shallow, right? It's going to be so important more than any time. It's going to be similar to the community that has transformed. Ephesians 4, read it yourself, will be a witness to society, devilish society, all right? It will be so important in the last days that people behave themselves and get along and do it well in the Christian community, that it will be like communion, says the Lord. And it will be like communion that some will fail to discern the body of Christ correctly in ministry and in family and leadership, you know, really leaders in the Christian community, elders, and they will be ill and won't know why. Some will die young and they won't know why because they put the word curse on people they never talked to. They didn't respect anybody and they were bigoted against women and black people and white people and brown people, against famous people, against non-famous people. And they called them witches, put them on witch lists, character assassinated, didn't interview them, didn't know what a witch was, but it was all about them. The same fruit, failing to discern the body of Christ correctly. Now, in the scriptures, when it first means that in communion, that means they fail to determine in their own hearts, to prepare their hearts for the Lord's Supper, discerning, failing to value and accurately understand and know about the sacrifice Jesus paid by shedding his blood for us, for our sins, his blood and body. But it also can mean the failing to respect, to take note as valuable, other people, black people, brown people, white people, old people, young people, they have failed to discern them as equal, even if they don't believe identically to the same thing. I'm not talking PC, but even if they do PC, you're supposed to pray them or confront them. That's your choice. Even if you think they're Jezebels, you're supposed to confront them. That's what I'm doing this, because this is a giant. This is a nasty and giant, wearying Jezebel spirit that I'm dealing with, the whelp spirit. The whelp spirit is a demonic, pathological, evil spirit, and I'm confronting it according to, as the head of this national ministry, Book of Ephesians, Crosby Unity, I'm confronting the Jezebel spirit, which is the fierce within and opposing spirit of mammon, of licentiousness, false witness, Judas, evil eye, psychic occult, and control, domination, Leviathan, ambition, that is blocking the Book of Acts wells in the charismatics. It's charismatic mostly, but it can be other kinds. So I'm confronting it by calling it out and addressing it and delivering it by teaching, respectful teaching, equipping, and according to Church of Thyatira, head of lampstand, Tavo DRC, why do you tolerate that Jezebel demon, demonic demon, turf guarding spirit? I say I don't. I'm confronting it. That's why I'm doing it. Been through hell, but I got joy because of this, but to deliver it for the sake of our nation. And I'll put in this, You know, the LP own the Book of Acts. They own it. People bow and scrape, and they think they own it too. The whole group is at a giant culture. Though it is not diverse. It is not toying with me anymore. It is not totalitarianism. It is everybody's move, not my move, not their move. It is God's move now, which is diverse, equal opportunity, real respect for the office of every human. God can take down and tear out, bring up and bring forth and help people get along and do it for his glory. This is the kingdom move. We want God's kingdom, not my kingdom, not our kingdom, not the prophetic turf. I want it to be God's turf of all kinds with different, you know, kinds of ministry that God brings forth to show off his glory, to show up in where it's needed in different areas. So the way I see it, Jesus Christ went about doing good, but once his disciples got a perverted message and sin of entitlement, they stayed in their own clubs and hidey holes and clans, cliques, and prayed against people and took up a lot of good offering. That's whelp. So we're pro you, but we're not pro your adversarial demonic. I have never been around anything. I cannot understand. This is exactly what Paul said. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, lovers of themselves, all this stuff, this thorny crowd. Same with 1 Timothy 6:5, measuring you by cash, money, size, whatever, appearance. It has got to be delivered. It's got to be either repented, shut down, or move on. We're going to say this because we are asking for God to be calm. I'm not labeling. If I were to label them, I'd call them out by name and movement, but I don't. I care for them. I really do. But we're tired of greasy grace. When the Bible teaches, Paul teaches, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and be filled with the fullness of God. You can't be filled with the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:19, if you don't know the love of Christ, the real love of Christ. What is that? Who is that? That is sweet baby Jesus. Turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do all the time. But it's also human, grown-up, mature, adult, upfront confrontation, Matthew 16:18-15, confront them, speak to men privately, Jezebel, confront the Jezebel spirit, Church of Thyatira, James 3:17, and I would say to the witch watchers in this crowd, this is a giant crowd where I discovered the nest of witch watchers, if you know somebody is a witch in your audience, they're so hyper about this, charismatic, then why don't you go over there and confront them, leader, in a Church of Thyatira? Why are you tolerating fashion instead of hiding, playtime, secretly manipulating and maneuvering, praying against with demonic, soulish, occult prayer, which is witchcraft? Why are you doing that? That's where we're out of there. That was the final, final mistake they made. That was the fine. This group is giant. It is enormous. It practices this all over the nation, over the world, where the whelp spirit is. And it's wearying false religion, and it's damnable, and doctrines of demons. It's demonic, and God is calling it out to say either choose who you're going to serve or not. It is your choice from now. I'm not talking. I love them, but I had to leave them because they can't tell Elijah sitting there. They're so false. They're people cannot who target and read you and never speak and love you. Don't respect anybody. Just their gift. They will imagine, define, defile you, divine you, psychologically profile you, racially gender profile you, and make their summation, warn everybody and their leadership, and never love you enough to chat and find out if it's true. That is plain abusive, untrustworthy, and the Pauline command from such turn away. Read it. Read it and rejoice. And I am rejoicing since I, you know, finally God got through to me what this was, what this is. It's huge. God loves you. He forgives you. But you got to get some self-control over your people. God bless you. This is Tavo DRC. Signing off for now.